Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Hi Igniters, Connie Graf is a certified clutter clearing practitioner and takes her clients on a journey from chaos to peace. She helps them tidy and organise their stuff, but more importantly, she helps them discover the underlying reasons why it accumulated in the first place. Clutter stresses us out. By living a clutter-free life, we are making space for the things that are most important to us, and we can move towards our dreams and goals while being organised. It's simply a side effect. Igniters, this is Connie Graf. Hi, Connie. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks so much for having me.
Not a problem at all. I'm so excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Sure, I'm ready.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us where you're up to, what's happening for you right now?
I'm actually very excited because I think I found finally where I belong. I'm a certified clutter clearing practitioner. So I help people clear their clutter, but it is actually so much more than what you would think. It goes so much deeper the way I learned it. I learned it from Karen Kingston. And for her, it's all about why. Why did the clutter accumulate? And so what I'm have the honor to do is help my clients to see why they are in the situation. And this makes it so interesting. So yeah, that's actually where I am right now, and I'm really excited. And
that sounds really, really interesting, actually, because it sounds like you go internal to find out what's happening in the external.
Yeah, you just try to, with the right questions, and you kind of, you have to tune into your client, and then with the right questions, you're trying to open it up for them so that they can see for themselves why they are where they are. And it can have so many different reasons. Some of them may not be obvious at all. Others may sit in front of them and they just never clued off that this is the missing link, why they are where they are. And it's very, very rewarding. And you get to know these people on a completely different level. It's not like the everyday meeting people. It's very personal. And that's what I'm saying. So very rewarding because you see them lightening up and, oh, that's why. Oh, so cool. Now I know. And it's like a huge weight falls off of them and off their shoulders. And you see it in their face and everything. And it's really so rewarding. That's what's right now excites me a lot. Yeah,
definitely exciting. I love it when you see transformation in our clients. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's the reward, like besides that you're making money and you actually can make money with something that you really love to do. But that is like the icing on the cake.
Yes, great. Yeah. Do you want to tell us a bit about your story, where you've been to get to this point?
Yeah, sure. How long you have time for listening? So I'm originally from Switzerland. You may hear that with a little bit of an accent. And I actually grew up clutter clearing myself all the time already without knowing what I'm doing. Like back then, of course, I didn't know it was called clutter clearing. But I was actually always had that feeling that getting rid of things or rearranging the room or keeping my things up to date, that this helped me move in life. But I grew up in a family where this was not, they didn't understand this part. They were more like focused on, yeah, you go to school, you get a good job, and you go and you work, you have a good, you make your career. And so my parents would have loved if I worked at the bank. And I said from the beginning, not working at a bank. So I ended up at an insurance company, which is almost the same. And then I became a accountant controller of all things. So I used to work in the corporate world and I actually was good at it. I do have a knack for numbers. I do have an ability to have the overview very quickly. So that helped really. So I was successful. But it was not what I wanted to do. It was just what I thought I needed to do, what I kind of pleased my parents by doing it. Which probably a lot of people can relate to, because that's what you sometimes do when you're young. You're just like, first of all, you live under the roof of your parents. So you basically, you're kind of doing what they want you to do. And then once you are in this path, it's kind of hard to deviate off of it. So yeah, so you're ending up there. But then eventually, I think you feel that this is not what you want to do. And even though I love numbers and I still can dive in and be really good at it, the whole corporate environment wasn't mine. And yeah, so then I became a big disappointment to my parents because, or at least my dad was not alive anymore, but to my mother, because I gave up my job and became a freelancer so that at least I was my own boss. I always felt like I needed to be my own boss. Yeah, and it moved on from there. So at first I became a freelancer and I still had clients and I did finances for them. And then after working for 17 years without, I still remember to this day, my thing was I worked now for 17 years without a vacation longer than 2 weeks. So now I want to have a sabbatical. So I had my own company and I decided, okay, I'm going to go on a sabbatical for 6 months. And everybody said, oh, you're nuts. You can't do that. You have company, you have clients, you can't go on a sabbatical. But the funny thing was that actually my clients were way more supportive than the friends and the family. Their friends and family all thought you can't do that. The clients, they were, okay, let's see how we can do this. So yeah. And so I went on a sabbatical and to complicate things a little bit, I met my now husband during these 6 months. And then I started moving from Switzerland to Canada. But I still kept my company in Switzerland. But the reason why I'm now doing clutter clearing again, like I used to when I was a child, is because my certification as an accounting controller from Switzerland doesn't count here in Canada. And something was clear for me that I'm not going to go through all these certifications for something that I don't really like or love, again, here in Canada, just to work in the same field. So, and then I discovered that you actually can become a clutter clearing practitioner. So that's when I started the journey to become this. The way I learned it is, it's a little bit more than organizing. Like being organized is basically the side effect for my clients. They make a big shift in their life. So yeah, that's kind of my journey in a nutshell, as short as possible.
What a journey though.
Yeah.
I agree that we do get caught up a lot when we're young because we listen to what everyone else says and we think we should do what they say and not really listen to our heart and to what, you know, really makes us sing. And a lot of what we found is that we wait till we're older and then go, oh, not going to be stuck in that job anymore.
Well, the problem, I think, is when you're really young, you have not really that much choice unless you're really a rebellious child, I guess. But then maybe like you, because you're kind of dependent on your parents financially, possibly until you make your own money. And in Switzerland, you go and have an apprenticeship or you go to the university. In both places, you don't make enough money to survive. So you have to basically stay at home. My parents always said, if you want to stay at home, you do what we say. So you kind of, that's how it happens. And then once you are in a path, of course, it's not like it's all bad. I don't regret where I was. It helped me a lot. But it's not where I wanted to go. But it's in the end, it was where I went. And to make then like a change, that can be hard. And I think then you need to be a little older and you need to be quite brave sometimes, I think, to do like a 180 or whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you think because you made the move from Switzerland to Canada, that was the lightning bolt that you needed to change? Or was it more of a slow rumble that came up and that was just like, right, now I have to make that change?
I think it was probably part of it or a big part of it, I would say. But I think the original rumble was when I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to be an employee anymore. I want to be a freelancer. That is kind of was kind of like the first step. And I always say I'm kind of a Swiss rebel. And rebel and Switzerland doesn't really go that well together. We're all very nice and polite. And so, but like I said, my mother was disappointed, and she would always say, oh my God, you need money or something. And I said, I make more money now and work less than before, and I'm doing better. But for her, this was huge that I gave up my job. I mean, she couldn't believe it. So, but for me, that was the first step. And then the second step was taking the sabbatical. That was kind of like the second step in the, if you call it rumble, yeah, you could call it, it was the second step. And then the third one was, of course, when I realized, okay, I could work as an accountant controller here in Canada, either not making the salary that for my qualifications, because they don't acknowledge my qualifications, or go through schooling again and do everything from scratch. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And why would I take a job here in Canada when so many years back in Switzerland, I decided I don't want to have a job. I want to be my own boss. So that's kind of like, yeah, then it was the tipping point. Okay, now what else do I do then? And it was not like a lightning bolt and, oh, and that's what I'm doing now. It was a process. It's kind of like step by step. And when I look back now, it all makes sense where I went. But there was times where I was sitting here thinking, like, what am I doing then when I'm not like crunching numbers? What shall I do? And I had luckily a very patient husband. He said, oh, you will figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, but kind of like, what am I going to do, you know? Yeah, so it was more slower process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you had challenges along the way that made you think you want to throw the towel in?
It depends where. So becoming a freelancer, never would have thrown the towel in. Coming to Canada sometimes, yes, even though my husband is here. But I left all my good friends behind. I kind of left a successful business behind, even though it was not my dream job. I kind of enjoyed, like, my clients were almost like family, so I really enjoyed working with them. But it was I kind of knew it was not what my calling was, and so I always said I have almost like one leg in Switzerland, one leg in Canada. And that's sometimes really hard. And sometimes I wish my life wouldn't be that way. But throwing in the towel, what would it mean? It would mean I've moved back to Switzerland, work again as a freelance accountant, and my husband moves to Switzerland? Or like, there was really like no throwing in the towel. There wasn't no option in a way. Yeah. Other than forward,
to keep putting one foot in front of the other, then was it more because out of necessity you didn't, you know, because you didn't go back, or do you have that big vision that keeps you going?
I sure have a big vision. I do have a vision. Like, just my vision was from the minute that I became a freelancer, was my vision was that I can structure the day the way I want. I'm not a lazy person. I love to work, but I don't like to be told when I have to do what, or yeah. So that freedom was always my vision. But to just put one step in front of, it's also stubbornness, I think, like not wanting to admit that it's not, or like that it's not working. So there's only forward anyways. Turning around is not a possibility, kind of stubbornness. I don't even know what turning around would mean. Again, it's like there is no turning around, kind of how it is. Yep. And I think I also think like there is really no real turning around. I think in life it always goes forward, even though you may think you're backtracking, but you're not. You're never ever at the exact same place that you have been before. Never. So
yeah. I love that. Yeah. So what was your ignition point? When have things really started taking off for you?
I think it was when I became a freelancer back. That was in 1998, when I actually decided, okay, now I live the life my way. And I may have done it in small steps and slow, but I always kind of always did what I wanted. So that was for me, that like 98 was like rebirth, if you want to call it. And if you if I wanted to go back even further, no, actually 98 when I became self-employed, and then a relationship broke apart, and this kind of gave me another boost because he was always kind of holding me back from freeing myself this way. He was very structured he always said, that's not going to work what you want to do. That's not going to work. So he was always holding me back. And then when that relationship broke apart, I had nobody that telling me it's not going to work. So I just did it. And so, yeah, so I would say that was the big moment.
Yeah. What new possibilities have opened up for you from doing this new business?
Well, just recently, a local influencer, celebrity is the wrong word, but local influencer, she reached out to me and she wants to do a joint venture with me, which will be very exciting, all around clutter clearing. I can't really say too much yet because it's still in the planning phase, but yeah, it's just, it opens up doors. You get to know people completely different. When you're just like doing their finances, yeah, you see a part of their business, a part of their personality, you get to know them, but helping them with their clutter is a completely different level. So that is very exciting. And then, yeah, just to help people this way. And now with this possible joint venture, that will be very, very exciting.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to in the future?
Yeah, well, I think right now that joint venture is possibly the most exciting thing that I right now, like business-wise, I could think of. Other than that, I try to live every day as it was an exciting day. Like I'm not kind of living for the future. I'm trying to live for the day. So yes, I have my visions and everything, but to me, the journey is life. Life is a journey, or however you want to call it. So I'm not the person who says, oh, in 5 years I'm gonna retire, and I'm just kind of living for that date in 5 years where I'm gonna retire. So from that standpoint, every day is an exciting day. Yeah,
the fun is in the journey, isn't it? That's what I find.
It is. And sometimes you only realize that backwards. The older you get, the more you realize it backwards. And I think then the your obligation in a way is that you have to remember that and not live like you live forward, but you're not living in the future. You're trying to live in the present.
Yeah. Love that. Thank you. All right. So let's have a change of pace and do the speed round. What's your favorite book?
I must probably say Clear Your Clutter with Feng Shui by Karen Kingston, because I read that many, many, many years ago. I think it came out 25 years ago. And even though I didn't know it back then, but that is now part of my life. So,
who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
So when I was still working in the in the insurance business, my dad died. I was only 20 years old. He was only 46. And I had a work colleague, and he was the same age like my dad. And he always said he's now my surrogate dad. So, and I think he helped me most. When I was 20, my dad died. Really hard back then. Nobody would help you like with grief counseling or anything. You're just like, okay, you just figure it out yourself. And he was just taking me under his wing and giving me confidence. And so I would say him.
What daily ritual works best for you?
One daily ritual that my husband and I have together is every morning, first thing, we're going to have a tea together. And so we're just like, and in winter when it's cold, we sit in bed with our tea. And in summer when it's nice and hot or warm already in the morning, we go and sit on the balcony and we start our day with a tea. And sometimes we talk what the day is going to bring. Sometimes we're just quiet. But that's our daily ritual. So instead of jumping out of bed and getting all frenzy, getting things crossed off your to-do list, we're actually starting slow.
What's your favorite food?
Pizza. And I even dedicated my very, very first blog post to pizza.
I'll have to read that one.
Yeah.
Do you like the country or the city?
I love more the country, but I love to live close enough to the city that I can enjoy what the city has to offer. Like, I love to go to concerts, or I love to go, like here in Vancouver, to go to the beach or to fireworks and stuff like that. But I could not live in a city, I don't think. So we live on acreage with animals and everything, so that's more me.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change in their life?
Take your time. I would say, like, when you feel it inside that you need to make a change, but you're scared to make a big change, at least make baby steps towards it. Like, do something, and it may get easier after. Like, you build up momentum, you become more brave to do it.
So. Yeah. Any action is better than no action, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, last question. Mm-hmm. So if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Worry less, I would probably tell my former self. And that's something that I have to tell my present self all the time, to worry less. I'm a little bit of, my husband always says, oh, you're always worrying. And that's true. And I know in one way that worrying is not so ideal. And looking back, I sometimes think, why did I worry so much? Everything turned out okay. But that's just kind of my personality, I guess. So worrying less, that's definitely something that I would tell my younger self. But a lot of people told me that. I think it's a hard thing to do if you're kind of that kind of person. Yeah,
it is a hard thing, because a lot of us will worry about things that haven't even happened yet. So
exactly. Yeah. And wasn't there somebody said that you worry about things, 95% of the things never happen, so you're basically waste all your energy on something that never happens. And that's true, and I don't know all that. But I always find myself, I always find myself again and again and again. Okay, now I worry again. So that's,
yeah.
At least you're aware of it.
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Connie.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was fun.
Yeah. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we can end it there?
Yeah, sure. Best place might be on my website, which is www.conniegraf.com, but Connie written with a Y, so CONNYGRAF.com. And from there, you will see my Facebook profile, so you could contact me on Facebook, but there is also a contact box on my website, and you could contact me through there.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much. I trust you enjoy the amazing Swiss rebel Connie Graf Igniters. I love how she finds what she does so rewarding. Connie lives for the journey and advises we need to worry less. So true. To contact Connie, go to www.conniegraf.com or go to her Facebook page. And don't forget, Connie is spelt C-O-N-N-Y. If you want to learn how to ignite your life with a bit of adventure, go to ignitepodcast.com.